I'd like to now tell a story. Long before, let me get my pages right. It's a small part of a very large story of amazing interconnections that have enabled us to be here today. That larger story is one I believe we must all come to know and teach better, and a legacy that we must extend. In 1901, a German-born musician named Albert Miller, that was his anglicized name, joined the faculty of Brigham Young University. He was born in 1875 near Erfurt, Germany, and he studied violin and trumpet as a young man. After service in the army at age 18, he moved to Dresden and took a position there. He joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. There, too, he met Elsa Müller, who later became his wife, and Robert Zauer, a friend from the army band in which he had played. Miller introduced Zauer to the church, and he likewise became a member. Miller traveled to Utah to receive temple ordinances. Talk about a trip to the temple. In December of 1899, while working in a field of sugar beets in Lehi, his hands rough and inflamed, he was greeted by Professor Anthony C. Lund, who had heard reports of his skill as a musician. Miller played for Lund, who invited him to assist in teaching music at Brigham Young Academy. Based on the promise of this new position, Miller sent for his wife, Elsa. They were married in the Salt Lake Temple on January 2nd, 1901, and settled in Provo. Anthony Lund was appointed principal of the music department at Brigham Young Academy in 1904. He was a well-trained musician who had studied in the Royal Conservatory of Music in Leipzig, not far from where Albert Müller's home was in Germany. Lund's skill lay in choral music, and accounts report that he brought fine performances of oratorios, operas, and choral works to the school. He later served as conductor of the Tabernacle Choir from 1915 to 1935. He's there in the center on the second row, pretty hard to see. It was Miller, Albert Miller, who taught violin and wind instruments and organized the first BYU Academy band and orchestra. The orchestra expanded soon to three orchestras and four bands, performing not only in Provo but throughout the state. Miller called on his friend, Robert Zauer, to come from Germany to assist him, and Zauer immigrated with his wife Augusta in 1901. Miller died unexpectedly of typhoid pneumonia on January 31st, 1906. He was only 31 years old. Zauer succeeded him as leader of the BYU band, a position he held until he retired. This is Zauer with the band in 1909, and later in 1923 in front of the women's gymnasium across the street from the education building. University Avenue is the dirt road just above the band. This photo of Sauer's band was taken in 1936 at a concert in College Hall, and Sauer's off to the right. It was just about this time, 1 year earlier to be precise, that a young man named Sam Sorensen came to BYU to study. Sorensen remembers the day he met Zauer after winning first place in a state high school music festival in 1935.
About 2 weeks before school started, I was living in Springville, and Professor Robert Zauer, who had the band at BYU, came over to see me. We called him Bobby Zauer, so if I refer to Bobby Zauer, you know who he is. And he said, he wanted me because he saw that I had won the contest on the bass horn anyway. And he wanted me to come to BYU. And I said, well, I had this pretty much a commitment with Professor Hawkins to go to the U. And Bobby said in his own German accent, he said, well, why don't you come to the school that is so close to you? And I said, well, that's because I've already set to go to the University of Utah. And he said, well, what if I get you a scholarship? And so he gave me a music scholarship for the first year. And that's how I changed and came to BYU.
Long before Sam Sorensen came to BYU in the mid-30s, a young, talented vocalist began her studies at BYU Academy. Her name was Florence Jepperson. Born in Provo, her early life was filled with music. There were 21 instruments of various kinds in the home, many made by her father, Samuel Jepperson. Florence played the guitar, piano, and organ in the family orchestra. At age 9, she was called a Sunday school organist. At age 11, she organized a girls' trio. As a teenager, she played in her brother Sam's guitar and mandolin club. Each of the four guitars in this photo were made by her father, and she's playing a harp guitar in the center there. Prior to coming to BYU Academy, she studied voice with Professor Lund, whom we just mentioned a few minutes ago. Her lessons were financed by the earnings her father received by painting scenery for operas staged at the Academy. She entered BYU Academy, in 1902, where Professor Lund had an even greater influence on her. He took her into his confidences, and he saw that the expenses of her schooling were defrayed by her assisting him in teaching some of his music classes. Among them was a class in which prospective missionaries were taught the fundamentals of music. We've now transferred that responsibility to the priest quorum advisor. And it's not working very well. This slide I showed a few minutes earlier shows Lund with the graduating class of 2004, and the girl in the front right is one of his prime pupils, Florence Jepperson. She taught the next year in 1905, and in 1906, she traveled to Boston to attend the New England Conservatory of Music, then led by its well-known director, American composer George Chadwick. Here she found great success at the conservatory and in the community. I guess I have these out of order. Well, there she is. She completed her four-year program in three, graduating in 1909 with high honors and winning praise from many. And the praise, I assure you, is not trivial. She was well-known in Boston and very accomplished as a musician. Her time there had been extremely successful and provided great growth, but Florence had not forgotten the special influence BYU had upon her life and its destined place in the world. In the April 27th, 1909 issue of The White and Blue, now we call it the Daily Universe, appears a copy of a letter received from Florence in which she described BYU as having, quote, a divine influence on its graduates, providing a rudder for life. I like that. She said, I can truly say that one may search the world over and never find a school containing so many noble men and women as our church school. As environment plays so great a part in forming our character, it is very important that we be surrounded by good moral influences. As Drummond says, foundations which have to bear the weight of eternal lives must be surely laid. My sincerest desire is that the school may grow and prosper, and that its ennobling influence may be felt more keenly by every student, and that they may value its training and associations as they should be valued. She returned briefly in 1911 to give a concert and was hailed as Utah's greatest contralto. Probably true. In 1920, after significant musical experiences, and frequent return trips to Utah, Florence permanently returned here as chair of the Department of Music. Joining the faculty 1 year earlier in 1919 was a great new faculty member, T. Earl Pardo. T. Earl Pardo came as a faculty member and was immediately appointed as the chair of the Department of Speech and Dramatic Arts. Pardo records this memory. He says that J.B. Keeler, for those of you who know J.J., this is his grandfather, J.B. Keeler came to welcome me to the university in early 1919. sorry, and we sat down in College Hall, a place which came to mean much to me. It was already something special to him. "Do you know what this building is and how it came to be?" he asked. In a few minutes, I heard the story of its building, the donors, and even the seats around us. I heard how the university was built, heard the names of many who had profited by its teaching, was told that character, devotion, and sacrifice were traditional foundations. In this period, Franklin S. Harris was inaugurated president of BYU on October 17, 1921. A procession proceeded from the education building, led by Apostle Roger Clausen in the center, to the Provo Tabernacle, where Harris gave his inaugural speech. He said on that occasion, "There has grown out of the history of the institution a particular mandate that must be respected, a certain fire that must be kept burning." I love that line. "The first task of the future is to preserve at the institution this spirit that comes to us from the past, the true spirit of character above learning, and in, excuse me, the spirit places character above learning and indelibly burns into the consciousness of the student the fact that the most enduring joy is dependent on spiritual growth, which looks toward eternal progression." Harris continued, "We must be satisfied with nothing short of the highest standards in our courses. We must have on our faculty none but those who possess unquestioned integrity and scholarship." He said, "It now remains for us who are charged with the responsibility of conducting the institution to live up to our possibilities. May God grant us wisdom and strength to play well our part." Harris's call to live up to our possibilities was certainly answered by the faculty of the newly formed College of Fine Arts, shown here with their dean, Garrett DeYoung, and President Harris, in either 1925 or just after that. We know it's in 25 because of the appointments of some of these people. Enrollment in the college, not the university, but in the college that year, included about 100 of the 1,153 college students at BYU that year. This dedicated faculty laid the foundations of learning, accomplishment, and faith we have inherited today. DeYoung served as dean from 1925 to 1960. Chairing the then three departments were Florence Jefferson, not yet Madsen, in this photo it had happened. She had been married. Florence Jefferson Madsen, B.F. Larson up in the upper right, and T. Earl Pardo. Bobby Sowers off to the right, and we'll talk in just a minute about Leroy Robertson. In fact, we'll talk now. Joining the faculty that year the college was formed was Leroy J. Robertson. He was born in 1896 in Fountain Green, Utah. He studied violin and piano at an early age, and it was clear to all around him that he possessed extraordinary talent. After attending 2 years of high school in Pleasant Grove, he transferred to BY High School, studying violin with Moses S. Gudmundson and theory with yours truly, Anthony C. Lund, soon to be conductor of the choir, as we mentioned earlier. After high school graduation in 1916, Robertson studied with George W. Fitzroy, who was a graduate of the New England Conservatory of Music. So you've got Florence Jefferson, who went there, and a man named Fitzroy, who joined the faculty, who went there, and Robertson now is going to go there. Again, Chadwick, here he is as a young man. He goes to study with Chadwick, who was a composer and director of the New England Conservatory. So in late September 1920, he packed his scores in his notebooks along with a few clothes and boarded a train to Boston, using a ticket his friend Frank Asper had given him. Asper would later become organist for the Tabernacle Choir. Robertson proved himself very well during his studies in Boston. He graduated in 1923 in June and won the school's coveted Endicott Prize for composition. Upon returning home, he taught at North Cache High School, followed by a position at Pleasant Grove High School, where he also served as music supervisor for the Alpine School District. In September of 1925, Robertson married Naomi Nelson, and they moved into a small home in Provo. 3 days later, he began his position at BYU. He taught violin, viola, and music theory and composition. He kept meticulous records of his lessons, which indicate that some of his private students paid him in kind, and others paid 50 cents a lesson. Robertson also conducted the orchestra, which was a great passion of his. He demanded much of his students, and they returned to him their respect and dedication, developing over the years into a very fine ensemble. Robertson lamented the fact that there were little professional opportunities for his musicians after they left BYU. He said he felt like he was training physicians rather than musicians. They played in the orchestra, but they didn't graduate in music or continue their musical skills. There are but very few still living who experienced music making under Robertson's baton. But one alumnus, indeed one who became a physician, is C. Bland Giddings of American Fork, Utah, now nearly 92 years old and residing in Phoenix, Arizona. Yesterday, we sent a camera crew to interview Bland. He describes the experience of playing with Robertson.
I remember at our first rehearsal, our first concert, we played Beethoven's Symphony No. 8. I had not heard the piece, and I was very much impressed. And we again played the Chabrier numbers and some other numbers. I don't recall all of them, but I well remember that during the 4 years, we started out with Beethoven's 8th Symphony, and during that 4 years, we ran the whole series of Beethoven's symphonies, and in fact, all the major works were selected by Professor Robertson, so that it was a well-rounded music education. Leroy Robertson was very exacting. He wanted the right notes, and we'd go over it until we got it right. It was quite an experience.
Giddings also speaks of the spirit of BYU in those early days.
I felt that anyone who had a chance should go to BYU because of the church influence was very important there. We knew right from wrong. We knew how to behave properly and how to dress properly. We developed a lot of friendships there. There were about 3,000 students, and while I didn't know a lot about some of them, we knew virtually every student on campus. That was impressive. And we, as I had said, we developed a lot of friends there, and it's a tremendous experience. It's a tremendous experience for those, and I encourage any of those to try to go there today because it's a great campus, a great learning experience for everyone who wants to get a college education. I surely had mine, and certainly the experience I had in music is something I have appreciated to this very day, even to my old age of nearly 92.